I was waiting. I was waiting for somebody else to get introduced on the show. I was like, "This is so cool that you know, Red Barber's coming on or somebody like that." But now it's me.
You know what really stinks about this year is that I don't get a chance to clown around with you at shoot arounds.
I know that there's so many things that stink about this year, but that is one of them. I haven't seen you. I haven't seen Mr. Girardi in all his glory. Really? I haven't seen anybody. Yeah, I sit in the basement half the time and stare at a TV screen and then go upstairs and my wife's like, "You're still here. That's great. That's just great. You're still here. Wow." I was hoping when you went downstairs you'd miraculously teleport somewhere. No, I'm still here.
So you've bugged my home.
Oh, are we having the same conversation?
Same conversation, no different. Oh, you're still here. What are you doing? Oh, my goodness. Kevin, the Big Ten has had obviously a terrific year, and so has the Big 12. As a matter of fact, what have you thought about the level of play? And sometimes it's hard to judge just off a TV screen. But what do you think is the level of play this year compared to what we saw level of play even last year?
I think it is higher, and especially for the top teams. You know, yeah. I think there's a divide in this league, and there's a divide in every league. That's not exactly breaking news that you're accustomed to when you listen to this show to get breaking news. But that's not it. There's always a divide. The divide is such though that the top is so good in the Big Ten, and there's more at the top. There's really good teams. Illinois is a really good team. Iowa, really good. Michigan, really good. On the right night, Ohio State, really good. Purdue, really. I mean, there's just a lot of excellent competition at the top of this league. And I think that's what makes the Big Ten stand out this year, is not so much the divide doesn't exist, because it does. I mean, look, Nebraska's not very good. Then they're trying. They're trying to get better. Mm-hmm. Northwestern's trying to get better, and they've shown signs of late. That Minnesota has had its struggles, obviously, with injuries, but they're trying to get better. There's just a big divide between those teams and the teams at the top of this league. The middle is solid, but, man, the five or six teams at the top of this league are really good, like national championship caliber good. And I think that's what sets the Big Ten apart this year, that you have so much strength in a big bunch at the top.
And there's another part, too. We're seeing a lot of positionalist basketball across the country, but not in the Big Ten. Coburn, okay? Coburn, obviously. Dickinson, Williams, Luka. I mean, you can go through the list. You know, Liam Robbins. The center still has a prominent force in the Big Ten, and I think that's a big separator that in the NCAA tournament I think is going to surprise other teams when they have to play them.
I cannot wait to see Big Ten teams play somebody other than Big Ten teams because of what you said and so many other things. Everybody's so well scouted in this league. You see that every single night. Everybody knows everybody. Everybody, and that doesn't mean you can stop Ayo Dosunmu if you know what he's going to do, because he's still going to figure out a way to do it. But you try when you're a team that hasn't seen a traditional post this year, roll up and here comes Hunter Dickinson off the bench, or here comes Kofi Coburn into the game off the bus, and you're like, what am I going to do here? And he's athletic enough that he can defend you some on the perimeter. You don't really want him out there if you're Brad Underwood, but it's not the worst thing that's ever happened, because you have no chance if you're a skinny post from another school trying to defend against him inside. I mean, he's been fouled so many times this year that hasn't been called because he's so big and strong, he doesn't react to them.
Right.
I mean, somebody clubs him in the chest, and it's like, you know, if somebody bumps me on the, you know, at the bus station, and I fall down on the ground and scream and cry, they know I've been bumped. Right. But he gets hit with a tuba before, and he's like, oh, yeah, hey, how are you? Yeah. It's crazy. But he's so – good luck in the tournament trying to figure out how to defend – these teams that are athletic, strong, and have traditional posts that can cause problems and have a mid-range game. Most of these posts we're talking about have a mid-range game, which I tip my cap to them.
Yeah, I mean, Williams is an exceptional passer. Dickinson has a good mid-range game. Oh, and by the way, it is almost comical watching somebody try to move Kofi off the spot when he's defending you. I mean, it's comical.
It's almost impossible. Yeah. It's almost impossible. I mean, you almost need a forklift to just drive out there on the court, lift him up, and carry him away. He is the change he's made in a year, even from in his body and his physical play, is remarkable because he's kept the ability to run, and he's always been a terrific runner in his couple of years at Illinois, but he's so strong now to go with that ability to run up and down the floor. I clearly a fan of his game and the talent that Illinois has amassed. That's a really good squad, and not going to be a surprise to see them as a one seed on Selection Sunday.
Right. No, they will be a one seed. And memo to Nebraska and Ohio State, late game, Io likes to go right. Okay. just figured I'd throw that in there in case anybody was wondering. When you look at – then there's John Hara. He's not going to get the acclaim of other people. Have you seen a player that – look, a lot of guys get the most out of it, but – when you look at John Hara, it looks like he gets every ounce out of the game that he does have. It may not be as productive as somebody else, but he gets every ounce out of it.
I have so much respect for the game of John Hara because what he does is works incredibly hard. There's no off moment. When he's on the floor, you know he is going to be giving you every single ounce of effort he has because he uses the bench the way the bench is supposed to be used. To refuel. I'm gonna get a drink, I'm gonna relax, I'm gonna rest, and I'm gonna go in there and I'm just gonna go full bore. And you can see that in the offensive rebounding numbers. That's offensive rebounding numbers are in a lot of ways a metric of hard work. You are efforting, you are pushing out there to get an offensive rebound. And when you've gone through an entire season in this league against the people he goes against every night, we just gave you the laundry list of those guys, and you're averaging almost 4 offensive rebounds per game. That's pretty good work. I mean, they're not all off his misses. He's in there scrumming, trying to figure out a way to get a ball. And we showed a replay the other night. And Stephen Bardo, who is my partner on these games this week at the tournament, and in my mind is just a fantastic analyst.
Yes.
He picked up on this and he showed this. He called for this replay. And for those who are not in the broadcasting world, the TV analysts, they'll talk to the producer during a broadcast, say, I saw this. Show me a replay of this. And so he showed the replay. It was an angle. It was a very simple play, but it was an angle in which John Hara noticed he had read how the shot was going to go and positioned himself on the opposite side of the backboard and of the rim, expecting the ball to come off the rim that direction. So he was in position for the rebound. It was a little thing, but it goes to the amount of time he spends in film study, the amount of time he works on his game and on his craft. And we talked about how Dennis Rodman, who was an undersized rebounder, was one of the best that we've seen in the NBA from that position in a long time, did a lot of that by angles and work and understanding how the ball moved. And that's how John Hara did it the other day. I thought it was a really good illustration of the work he puts in off the floor to be as good as he possibly can be when he gets on the floor.
I brought this up earlier, but something coaches should not talk about. And because you don't want your players to think about it. But nobody's been in this setting before, and there'll be some fans, but not many. What kind of role can depth perception play in a? You know, I know it's going to be a curtain, and it's into one end zone. But what about the depth perception and shooting in this situation? Because nobody's been in it before.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some low shooting percentages, especially in the first day or two of the tournament. Tonight's games. You've got 4 teams that have had their struggles on and off during the course of the season. And you're going to put them in this environment and say, okay, go shoot 50%. Maybe they all will, and they'll surprise me. But I don't expect it. I don't expect good shooting performances in these first couple of days because it takes time to figure out this setting. And look, I this is going to sound weird, but for every kid on the floor in these games who is a freshman, this will be the first time this year they've played with more than their family in the stands. I know it's not going to be everybody. But it is going to have a different feel to it. Doesn't mean they haven't played before a crowd before. They clearly have. But you've seen this. I've witnessed this, and I've experienced this. When there aren't fans, and then you go to a place where there are even some, you notice it.
Yeah.
It stands out. You're watching a highlight, and you hear a crowd roar that's not canned crowd, and you go, whoa, what just happened there? Right. That's what these guys are going to be dealing with, and that depth perception. There's a lot of things about this that are really interesting from the surroundings, and I think those are 2 things that you bring up that I think are really, really interesting to see how this goes tonight.
In fact, Kevin, it was the 6th hole the other day, and DeChambeau cranked out that 377-yard drive, whatever the number was, and the crowd went insane because they allowed fans. the impact coming through the TV even. NFL playoff games, did you,
yep. Yep, I was at Lambeau Field.
You did Lambeau.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
When they were
noticed
banquet.
It right away. Yeah. It's the only time this year, and you will appreciate this, it's the only time this year that I got to say, let's just pause and listen to this crowd, because I was doing radio.
Yeah.
And they're banging signs on the chair. I mean, it was loud, and it's made louder because you've gone so long without it. You know, I live in Nebraska, and the state high school basketball tournament is going on in Nebraska right now, and they're allowing 75% capacity. And one of the plays from the tournament was a SportsCenter top 10 play last night. A young man caught inbound at half court, drove, layup, wins the game. I've probably watched the highlight 15 times, not because I'm that involved in the high school tournaments of the state of Nebraska, but because the crowd, and they had this massive student section, it just sounds so good. We make our living with sounds doing radio, and you miss that. You really do.
Yeah, when Jack Ham and I were at Michigan Thanksgiving weekend, I took a picture from the booth of 111,000 empty seats.
Oh,
sad.
It is, very much so.
I said, look, I had to take it. What's your thoughts on tonight's game, the matchup? Third time between the two, the first two obviously decided by a whopping total of 4 points.
Teddy Allen's not on the floor this time, which will make a difference because obviously it was his shot that won the game after Nebraska went on that minor 8-minute and 30-second drought toward the end of the game in State College and then had the 41-point performance. One of the best nights in the history of that program when Penn State overcame that and won in Lincoln. Nebraska plays hard. They're a ways away right now. I think if Penn State continues to play the way they did over the last couple of games, I thought they were really, really good at Maryland on both ends of the floor. And look, it helps have Seth Lundy come out and have the game of the year that he's had. I mean, notwithstanding the VCU game, that was a much bigger and much more impressive performance to me. To me, Penn State's the favorite in this. They've closed so strong. They're shooting the ball a little bit. They're defending, which I think is important. And if Nebraska's going to go into scoring droughts. This is what Nebraska does. They go into scoring droughts because they don't have that bell cow that can take over a game. Lat Mahon took it over on Monday against Rutgers when they won that game in Lincoln. But there's just not a lot of those guys that you say, here's a guy who can take over a game. And I think Penn State has a little bit more in this one. I mean, look, it's nothing's going to surprise me. Neither of these teams are going to shock me if they win. But if on paper, the way Penn State's been playing, I probably lean with the Nittany Lions in this one.
That's why I brought up the Hara part, the offensive rebounding part. So, I brought that up. You got the Final Four?
I do, yes. I'm basically a resident of Indiana now.
Okay. So, I mean, good. It's about time. In fact, I just got an email from both parties. They would like you to vote. All right. So,
I'm sure once they find out, not only would they like me to vote, they'll be interested in my tax dollars as well.
Oh, believe me, they are very interested now. Right? And you and I both know you don't make anything. So.
Exactly. Half my money's from radio. That's basically, can I get a free thing from some business? That's all I care about. Where's the T-shirt?
A T-shirt and a gift certificate.
Exactly.
My friend, it was a lot of fun spending a little time with you. I really appreciate it a lot.
I miss seeing you, man. I wish we were going to see you tonight here in Indy, but we'll be thinking of you as you broadcast from afar.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon.